All right. That's some smooth sounds of music that I love called jazz all over the world. And Porter said, Bobby, you're losing customers by doing this other music that you can't afford. So let's roll with my spirit. And she hit us with a little something that takes me where I like to go. And so thank you for that, Porter. Welcome to the October 17th edition of Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, where real men don't play. But as you can see, unless you Ray Charles, it ain't a real man sitting next to me. It's a PYT, pretty young thing, by the name of Fallon Coleman. Welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here. Thank you.
I actually saw her for the first time a few weeks ago out at Cal State University Northridge.
Correct, yes.
And we're going to get into why she's here today, because there's a play that she's a part of called Les Gems, right?
Les Gems, that is correct, yes.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to spell it. I tried to Google it and it ended up with all kind of stuff.
A.K.A. Showgirls.
Showgirls.
Yes, if that makes it easier.
So, and just to kind of really just, you know, set this up properly, you're a native of Los Angeles?
I am. Actually, this neighborhood here is my hometown, the Crenshaw area.
But she didn't win Hollywood, though, because I gave her the directions and she went the wrong way. all out there looking for her.
You know, people from the hood, we know landmarks.
Right, right.
Off of major streets, landmarks.
Yeah. We got our own Google.
Matter of fact,
we need to come up with a Negro app. Yeah, you need to turn at the McDonald's.
There you go, across the street from the 7-Eleven.
Right,
right. Where it's at.
Right, right. So I've had the great Mickey Stevenson on my show before, and it's been an honor to get to know Mickey. I've known Mickey from a distance over a period of years.
Okay.
And he actually came in studio a few weeks ago and shared with my audience his latest passion, because the man is the third wheel, and that's the only expression that I can appropriately use for the most significant music company, in my opinion, in the history of the world. Motown.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
He has ventured into live theater.
Yes.
And this play that you are a part of, Les Gems.
Yes.
What's it been like being around someone who has been so impactful in the performing arts?
Like you said, Mickey, he is an extraordinary man. He knows the ins and outs of show business. He knows music like the back of his hand, and he knows entertainment when it comes to theater. We have been rehearsing for this musical, Les Gems, if you will, for the past few months now, and it has been a ongoing journey. It has been a magnificent ride. It is a play that is based around women who are struggling trying to make it in show business. We're single mothers, we are pregnant women, you know, we are those who are struggling trying to make ends meet. We are in the entertainment business, we are working our 9-to-5s, but at the end of the day, after 5 o'clock, we are working towards our goal, which is the passion of singing and dancing and expressing our ways and our stories of how to live and how we survive, and as women, the empowerment that we have when we express ourselves through our arts, you know, through our own being as women.
So what's your personal background?
My personal background, I graduated from UNLV in Las Vegas.
The Running Rebels.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes. I have a dual major in business management and also fine arts, emphasis on choreography. Currently, I am getting my MBA. And besides that, I'm the choreographer for the show. I choreograph all the numbers in Les Gems. So there I get to use my skills in the most talented way.
So how did you meet Mickey?
Long story short, we'll just say it's a really long bloodline of family history.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, decode that for us.
That that is my little cousin's father.
Oh, there you go. Since we're in the hood.
Exactly. You know, I don't know if didn't you want me to put long. His business out there.
No. See, the thing about this show is it's a combination of the beauty shop and the barber salon.
Yes.
But intelligently done.
There you go. Right.
Because I gave up on them $50 words after I realized that people would just nod their head and act like they knew what I was talking about.
Right, and disagree.
I'm well educated myself, and I found out through my own journey that you can have more degrees than a thermometer and not find your way out of a one-room apartment with an exit sign over the door. So you really want to just be able to communicate effectively at some point in your journey.
Right.
And so what has it meant to you to be a part of this particular ensemble production?
Though I have been a part of a lot of productions in the past here in Los Angeles and also in Nevada, this particular production is very significant to me because of the fact that I have met so many wonderful women throughout this cast. Some who have gone, some who are still here. It has been such a pleasure to work with women who have the same passion as you in the arts when it comes to singing, when it comes to dancing. Though I am not a singer, I have developed a good relationship with the cast members of this show. And it has been a journey, a well journey for me, because the cast here knows what Mickey's expectations are. And every day we rehearse, we try to meet those needs. We try to do our best. We try to go above and beyond. And working with these ladies is so easy. I mean, we have our ups and downs. You know, we go through our back and forths. But, you know, we're ladies. We're in the business. And we know what comes with that. But at the end of the day, we reach towards that goal. And that's making sure everything is done effectively.
You know, as you begin to describe the backstory, one of the things that I was encouraged by is the fact that as you described all of the different elements of the personalities of the people in the play, you didn't mention victims or bitterness. Now, organically, did that happen just as I described it, organically? Is this some kind of just unique situation? Because typically when you get a number of women together, somebody got an attitude.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
And 'cause hurt people hurt people.
Right.
But as you described the essence of this play, La Gem, it was absent of that victimhood.
It's very funny that you bring that up, because within the show, we pinpoint a lot of things that go on in this world, and especially in our own community. We focus on mental illness. There's a young lady in the cast who has, you know, a mental illness where she can't get through the day without taking a pill. Rather, it's for her weight loss, or it's for her anxiety, or it's just for her mental capacity of not knowing how to scope everything all into one to do this show. She needs to be dependent on taking medication for her mental illness, but she failed to seek help because she was so focused on her goal on being an entertainer. She much rather focus on that versus getting the help. And sometimes in life, you know, we feel that if we can just, you know, cope with this man or cope with this, you know, relationship or cope with this job, I may not need to get the help because I can stay busy doing this. I can stay busy doing that, which I love. And sometimes that can be a failure. Sometimes that can be a success. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because we do pinpoint some of mental illness, sexual abuse, adoption. You know, we pinpoint a lot of those things that normally our culture, you know, don't speak on, or we're too afraid to speak on because we don't know how to seek the help.
So what's the range of situations within the construct of the play, La Gem?
The range of the situation is a group of ladies coming to a, I guess you will, a group home. You know, there's a home that that a lady has set up where she is living her dream throughout the women who come into the home. And she's auditioning these women. They're putting up a production for her. And she is living through the bodies of each and every one of these women. So obviously, she's a much seasoned woman, so every woman in the cast, she sees herself in, and there's a nice surprise as well within that storyline. I won't give too much detail.
No. There's so many other pieces of this equation that we won't have to go there.
Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned that you got 2 degrees already, and you're working on the business thing.
I'm working on a third, my master's degree, yes.
So, ultimately, let's say 5 years down the road, where would you like to be?
I would like to own my own dance agency, where I am successful at helping people create their businesses through the performing arts.
Well, you know, you got to be familiar with Katherine Dunham.
Absolutely.
So who are some of your inspirations then?
One who is not a dancer, and I'll go down the line. My first inspiration is Mahalia Jackson.
Have mercy.
One, because that is my mother's favorite gospel singer. Shouts out to my mother, Ray Williams. I love you. Second, I love Mahalia Jackson because she sings from the soul. She needs no music. She needs no underscore. Mahalia Jackson sings from the soul. And she is my inspiration because that's how I feel. I dance from my soul. If you was to teach me an 8 count, I'll know the 8 steps. But in between those 8 steps, I'm going to give you a little bit of soul. I'm going to give you a little twist on it. Katherine Dunham, yes, that is one of my favorite dancers. Josephine Baker.
She was a sassy lady. Boy. Sassy. Yeah.
Josephine Baker. Mm. Yes, and believe it or not, Fred Astaire is a really
Astaire.
Yes. Okay. His movement is impeccable.
Mm.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Thank
you, you mentioned Mahalia Jackson because I'm from the old era, not the old school, the old era.
Yes.
And that movie, I didn't sleep for a week after I saw Imitation of Life. Yeah, that messed me up so bad. I was like, I was a kid, and I was like, what is going on here? It's just so much trouble in the world.
Yes.
You know, and then she, at the end of the movie, she's up in that perch.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And wailing.
Yes.
And it went through me, and I was like, every time I close my eyes, I see her up there, because she would look up to the heavens,
mm-hmm.
and she had such an amazing voice.
Graceful,
just,
yes.
Even in a studio, a film, a set, it projected.
Yeah.
You felt
and
what
it
you were
all
talking
sounds
about.
The yeah. same. You know how you can
man.
Listen to gospel records right mm. now, and you know the difference from it being live in a studio or
yeah,
at church.
Yeah.
With Mahalia Jackson, it sounds the same no matter man. What her environment.
I didn't sleep for a week because her daughter was so rotten. You know that.
Yes.
I just like the lady in the film, not Mahalia Jackson.
Right,
of course,
right.
And then it came. Then they had the horses and all of that.
Oh, it was like she was singing at her own funeral.
Right, and I every time I close my eyes, I see that horse-drawn carriage, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, and she started to appreciate her mother once she was dead and gone.
That
is one of my favorite movies, believe it or not, because my mother would make me watch that, Green Pastures, and Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest.
And The Bad Seed.
I don't want no part of
So, you know, I really do have a love for, you know, things that come from the soul. And that's why I'm linking back to this production, Les Gems, and working with Mickey. You know, he was one of the head A&R, one of the first A&R men of soul music, Motown. And that's what helped me to link and connect, you know, to what it is that he's doing.
So as you work in his presence at this point, because it's been a while now in terms of the pre-production.
Yes.
What have you taken from being in his presence that you will integrate into your journey?
Very recently, he told me, this business is not about making friends. You have enough of those. You don't need this for a like. You don't need this for a double tap. This is not about making friends. This is to come here to do what you're supposed to do to the best of your ability and do it well. No matter what anybody says, no matter if people like it or not, you do what feels good to you. If I like it, we all good. Nobody else matters. If you like it, even better, take for it, move on.
You know, Since you made it clear to me that your strength in this production is the choreography, which means you have to orchestrate the movements of everybody in the play, what's the most rewarding part of that, and what's the most challenging part of that?
I'll go with the most challenging. The most challenging is when I teach in dance class, it's more fluid because you're used to dancing with actual, you know, trained dancers, and you know, it's nothing against the cast members. In this cast, I appreciate the fact that not everybody is a trained dancer. There's strong singers, there's strong actresses, there's strong dancers, so it's all a melting pot. So every day I come to class, it's more of a challenge for me than it is for them. Because I have to manipulate the moves and say, okay, it's okay, you don't know how to kick your leg, you know, that high. No problem at all. I've once been there, I'm there now, you know. Mm-hmm. So I learn how to manipulate the moves with each of the girls' ability to look their best versus making them look like me, look like someone else, you know, who is a stronger dancer. So that's my challenge, is having a mixture of dancers, non-dancers, and people that can move.
So I guess, in essence, then, that's also the greatest reward, is being able to get them to trust you.
Yep.
And then follow your lead.
Exactly. I will not steer you wrong. Trust me. You do not have to, you know, be a better dancer. You don't have to look like so-and-so. I tell the girls, and they can attest to this, do it your way. Whatever you feel in that moment, just bring it out and do it. Whatever that is in you, let it out at that moment. Everybody's hands don't have to be the same. Everybody's hand, you know, feet don't have to move. Just as long as we know the basic positions on when to turn, when to move, when to jump, when to stay, we're all good. Make it you and your character.
Now, I guess there's a reason to draw parallels between La Gem and Dreamgirls. What's similar and what's dissimilar in these productions?
Let's see. What's similar is that, I guess, the coordination of, you know, some of the togetherness with women on stage. You know, you have your, you know, your dream girls, your Effie and your Beyonce, and you even have, you know, Destiny's Child with, you know, Kelly and Michelle, and you have, you know, even your TLC. Those are different, you know, genres. There still are women who have to come on stage and be together. If somebody fall, you know, we got to help them up. If somebody, you know, can't, you know, don't know the right direction, you know, you kind of give them the wink, you know, you got to, you know, give them the dancer wink eye, you know, so they know which way to turn. You know, it's all about the sisterhood. What we do backstage, we can fuss, we can fight, you know, but once we're on stage, there has to be a togetherness, there has to be a sisterhood. Otherwise, what's the point of practicing together if we cannot develop that as a cast?
So how does La Gem stand on its own?
La Gem stands on its own because not only is it all performing and music, it tells a significant story. It tells a story of the struggle. It tells a story of womanhood. And it also tells a story through life as you want it to be. I want to tell my story through dance. I want to tell my story through the, you know, my backstory from drugs. So it is, we really don't see that in show business. You know, a lot of people, when they're on stage, it's all about love. You know, everyone is talking about their relationships and, you know, boy toys. And this production here is
boy
all.
Toys. That's the beauty salon side.
Exactly. You know, but while we're on stage, we are telling a story in our own individual way. You'll see that each character on stage has its own individuality.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So there's an arc in this that's
absolutely
compelling, I would imagine. Because, like I said, I just saw the teaser piece of it. You know. And where do you have aspirations of seeing this go all the way to Broadway?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But with that takes hard work and dedication, and we have to keep running the show. We have to keep running the show. You know, one weekend, two weekends, three weekends in LA would not be enough. We would have to first travel in our hometown here, right here in our own community, so it can reach out, you know, to those outside, so we can travel outside of the state. But it starts here first.
So you mentioned to me earlier, out of deference to, you know, this gray, because it ain't Lent, you know. You said, yes, sir,
you are
to
right.
me. And I said, I said, where are you from? You claimed L.A. big time. Okay.
And, yes.
But then you said your grandfather was from Texas.
Yes. Right? Uh-huh.
How important has it been in your journey thus far to have a male figure that you could trust?
Yes. Well, first off, shouts out to my grandfather, the Reverend O.C. Williams. He just celebrated his 90th birthday.
Wow.
Yes, a couple of days ago. So we just had a very, very huge, you know, birthday party for him at the Proud Bird, which was magnificent. It was over 325 guests. So my grandfather has been a major, major, major part, you know, of my life because of the fact, number one, he had 12 children. So those 12 children had children had children. So there's a lot of cousins.
Y'all didn't have no guests. Everybody was related.
Exactly. Exactly. Our sleepovers consisted of cousins.
Y'all had a tribe, you know.
Yes.
Some people, you know, people associate L.A. with gangs. Some people didn't have to have no gangs. Built-in tribe.
I mean, you know, we were surrounded by that too. But our grandfather made sure that we had everything we needed, you know, to survive, rather it's in the house, in school, at home, no matter what. My grandfather was a very major part of my life.
Sound like somebody I'd like to have in studio at some point. We have somebody that's calling in that is attached to this project. I'm assuming that's Mahogany. Is that you, Mahogany?
Hey
Mahogany.
Me. Hey, beautiful. How y'all doing today?
I ain't gonna let y'all take over my show with all that hey stuff.
I think we might. I think we might just take it over. I don't know. That's what we do.
And that's okay. It's okay because I'm comfortable with this because she just talked about her grandfather being an integral part of her being able to come out into the world and with confidence, you know.
Yeah.
Put down her feet squarely on the ground and march toward her ambitions. So, Mahogany, what's your last name, by the way, Mahogany?
My last name is Woods. Mahogany Woods, that's my name.
Where are you from originally, Mahogany?
I'm from right in California, from Encino, but my family, we country folk and from Jamaica as well, so, you know, a little bit of island, a little bit of country.
Okay.
You know, I'm all mixed in.
You know how to jerk that chicken then, okay.
Oh, yes, you already know. We got the good fat food. All the good stuff.
Now, as I was talking here with Sister Fallon, she was telling me that she's in charge of the choreography, principally. And so, what do you bring to Le Gym?
For me, I bring just my acting or performing skills. Fallon is a phenomenal choreographer.
Oh, thank you, Mahogany.
No problem, baby. I'm not even exaggerating either. She definitely is. And, you know, for myself, this is actually one of my first things ever, my first performance of anything, actually. I'm straight out the gate, straight from high school, right into the show. So it's pretty much my first thing. So hopefully after this, it'll give me some credentials to bring something more to the next production I be a part of. But, you know, I honestly just bring myself. I try to bring positivity and just, you know, continue to keep the life and the light alive within the show. So that's my part.
What I know about Mickey Stevenson
and you
kind of really illuminated that earlier in that it ain't personal with him, it's business.
Right,
so Mahogany,
right.
How did you get one of these slots? Because there was auditions for this play, and what do you think, in your opinion, allowed Mickey to see something into you that allowed that governed him to give you a position in the play?
Well, what I can say is, which is something he's also told me before, raw talent. Because although I might not have been trained, like I said, it's my first in anything, so I've never had vocal classes, acting, anything like that, what he has told me is that he's seen raw talent in me. And drive. That's one thing about me. It's like there's nothing that'll get in my way. One day I will see my name in lights, and I already know that I will do whatever it takes to get there.
That's
so
right.
He's seen that drive and raw talent in me and knows that, like, regardless of what was happening, at the end of the day, that I would keep pushing forward. There would be nothing that would stop me or get in my way.
So, as you have embraced this opportunity, is there a line of demarcation between the part that you play and the person that you are?
Indeed, definitely. My part is a very, very strong I would say just a little, like, she's a strong, very demanding person. Mm-hmm. Myself, I'm very kind. I take a different perspective on it. I still have some of those qualities, but I'm very nice, sweet, not too, like, pushy with things. She's, like, mean, eager, a little, you know, bit of a bee. But, you know, that's the whole point of acting. You got to step outside of your comfort zone and go that extra mile in order to, you know, give the people that idea and that characterization of that person. It's not you. I'm not Mahogany anymore. I'm Brandy Du Bois.
You know,
but yeah, that's completely the opposite.
Wow. And that is what acting is, you know, being able to leave self and become, you know, the character.
Exactly. And that's the best part, because I don't have to, you know, I never have to say sorry about it. You know, it's just, you do what you got to do. You step into that role. And then once you're out of it, you're back to Mahogany. But once whoever I am, and whether I'm Brandy, whether I'm something else, whether wherever I go down the line, it's always going to be Mahogany outside of that. But once I walk through those doors, once I get on that stage, once I step into that camera, I'm whoever I need to be at that moment.
So what drew you to the performing arts?
I've always liked entertaining people. It was never even just like the spotlight purposes. I just love seeing people smile, or like when you sing that song and it makes a person cry, or when you do that comedy monologue and that person giggles or something. And really what really, really made me just really enjoy performing is the feeling that it gave my mother. It really, because she also was wanted to do that kind of thing, and then it was just like, that was the thing that made us bond the most, like, oh, we have the same dream goal. And the way when I sing a song that makes her cry, or when I do a monologue and she's like, nope, that's not it, do it again. And then when I finally get it right and she's like, well, that was the one, you know, like just seeing her eyes light up and her getting proud was what started me really wanting to do it. And then once I seen that it wasn't only her I was getting that energy from, it was other people, it was like, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. I don't want to be a dentist. I'm smart, but I don't want to be no doctor. You know, that's not for me. What's for me and what's going to make me happy and what's going to, every day when I wake up knowing that I'm living the life I want to live, is being a performer, singing on stage, acting on stage, dancing to any number that comes my way. That's the thing that feeds my soul. And I'm being blessed to work with Mickey and Fallon and all the other beautiful young ladies that are just, you know, I'm growing so much with and learning from. It's just a phenomenal experience, and I'm so lucky and blessed and proud of myself to make it this far.
Well, it's coming through the microphone. I mean, I really literally feel the energy and the passion that you have for this work, you know. And
I do. I really do.
We're going to follow this very closely, because we're getting ready to go to break right now and bring Mickey onto the phone. But I look forward to seeing the progression of Le Gym and the outcomes of it. So thank you for calling in Mahogany. You know, what a name.
No, thank you guys. I appreciate it. And thank you so much. Have a blessed night. And, you know, please look out, because we will be coming your way soon.
That's right.
That's Mahogany, y'all. Yeah.
So I love you most, baby.
Okay. So we're going to take a short pause for the calls, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Have a good one, y'all.
Okay. Boy, I wish I could have played the trumpet that well. back in the day, I played trumpet for 4 years, and I realized that you can't hide, you can't run. You had three valves, and people sitting out there looking at you like, what was that? I said, okay, let me find something else. We have been joined by another cast member from Le Gym, Claudia Cunningham, originally from one of my favorite cities, mm-hmm. Chicago, Illinois. Welcome yes, to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner. And thank she you. Must have some Mississippi relative because yes. she did the same thing you did. She oh, said, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, I do.
Y'all done made me melt. All right. It's really an interesting thing to be around sisters who are comfortable in their own skin mm-hmm. that just happen to be cute as a speckled pup under a spotted wagon. And we have on the phone, the driving force behind Le Gym, a brother that I've known for a number of years. He's actually been in studio with me recently, and someone that I have great admiration for because he continues to reach back mm-hmm. and give people opportunities to flourish in the performing arts. Welcome once again to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, the legendary Mickey Stevenson. How you doing, Mickey?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm happy as a sister in boys town. I ain't supposed to say that in this politically correct era, but you know, it is what it is, man. How you doing today, man?
Oh, man, I'm feeling much better.
Yeah, I got Claudia to my right and Fallon to my left, and I just got through talking to Mahogany, man. And I tell you, man, you have infected these young ladies with a virus, man. You know, they done got they done been bit by the bug, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So if you would, please, man, share with me what it feels like to, at this stage of your journey, to still be inspiring young people far removed from your heyday at Motown to reach for the sky.
Well, I'm very excited. It's like a whole new life for me. And the ladies are so wonderful. And to see them present their talent the way that they are doing it and for the reason that they're doing it is a great feeling. And they're very relentless. I mean, that's what I've been preaching and teaching since I was given the gift to deal with people like this, to see the results and see these ladies when the smiles on their faces and how they feel and their determination to be great and to leave that message to others that all young girls, all of them, can do anything they want. Just believe in themselves and keep and stay with it. That's a lesson that I've been trying to put out as much as possible. And to see these ladies actually perform that way and feel that way is a great feeling for me. Thank you.
So, Mickey, I know this is personal for you because when you gave me the backstory on the motivation for creating Le Gym, you said that you had a daughter who has, you know, transitioned that inspired you to do this play. What is it about these two particular ladies in studio today that are in some way a mirror image or a reflection of your beloved daughter that passed on?
Well, everything that I would like my daughter, everything that she was reaching for and the energy and the commitment that she had, they have that now. To see that is just like daughters all over again. So it's like, I don't know, it's like a gift from God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me feel like I'm 10, 20 years younger.
Mm. So, Claudia, I asked Fallon the question that I'm about to ask you.
Okay.
What was it like being able to audition and secure a role in this play, knowing who Mickey Stevenson was?
Well, when I got the call to actually come, it was literally 30 minutes before the audition, and I had no idea what I was auditioning for.
Really?
I didn't even know that Mickey was going to be there, and I didn't know what it was about, anything. I just went and did my thing and then did my research and was like, oh, okay. I can get with this. So
So what is the essence of your character in Legend?
First of all, these characters, Mickey did a great job picking specific women for specific roles. My character is a lot like me in person. I'm always hungry. And my character, like, I'm not always all over the place in my real life, but she's all over the place. Emotions, food, everything. She's just all over the place. And she's a sweetheart. She cares about everybody, but she wants to get things done. And she just wants to be accepted for who she is and not what she looks like on the outside. So, yeah, and that's who I am. Mm. Okay.
So, Mickey, why did you select Claudia for that particular role?
Because she seemed to fit the character naturally, a natural reaction in her way of talking, acting, smiling, being. That is like she made the character come alive. And that's the whole thing for me. As a writer and producer, I like to see the artists be themselves, and therefore they don't have to act to be themselves. The acting comes just as reading the lines, but the person has got to be who they are, and that matched my character, and he was right on it. And I was like instantly carried away with that.
So it wasn't no Midwest bias involved in this, because you're from Detroit and she's from Chicago, is it?
Well, I had a little something.
Oh, my Lord, man. So, Mickey, as you begin to construct this play, coming from a male perspective, how did you manage to cross that divide between, you know, the male vantage point and the issues that women uniquely deal with?
Well, when in writing characters for me, I took them from people that I knew, like the Motown artists that I worked with, from the Supremes, the Vandellas, and all the women that I worked with. As artists at Motown, I learned as they were developing their talent, the different emotions, the different changes that they went through, I could base my characters on each one of them. So I think I mentioned this to you once before, that each one in the show reminds me of some of the artists that I work with in their characteristics. And the way that they felt, so I had something to go by.
Oh,
on each artist, you with me?
Yeah, and I'm gonna go there, okay? Because the lady to my left, Miss Fallon, you know, she got more degrees than a thermometer, right? And one of the first things she shared with me that you impregnated her with is the business side of the show, okay? And the sister to my right here. She's bubbly, feisty. So, in a second, tell me, who does Fallon remind you of, and who does Claudia remind you of?
Well, Fallon reminds me a combination of, say, the Supremes individually, and I could put them all together as one person.
Mm.
Different personalities and the way that they. The attitudes that they have, and she was a combination of all of them come together. And she went in, of course, she's the choreographer for the show, but by the same token, I said to her, you know, you can act too. She said, well, I said, yeah, you know, you got that, you got the whole package, so you might as well start using it now. And she kind of worked her way right into it. It was, you know, it was right there. You know, these things you can't give to somebody. God gives it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that you got it, or somebody will help pull it out of you. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so that's what happened with her. Each one, I mean, it's been a joy working with these days. Listen, I went through a lot of artists in the audition, and some had it, but they didn't have the heart to make it happen. And the ones that are in the show now, they had the heart. They wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. They got to want it like I wanted to be great, they want to be great. They want to show themselves. And so that they got to have that. And when you, as a producer, you got to look for that. Not so much how great your voice is, you know, and all that. It's where the heart is.
Uh-huh.
And that's what comes out. And that's what I look for. And thank God they came to me. So I'm a happy guy.
So I'm sitting here just, you know, I'm getting a certain kind of energy from Claudia. Is there some Florence Ballard in her? She started laughing when I said that. Now, I could be out in left field on that, you know, because I never met Flo Ballard, but, you know.
She's a combination of all that.
Oh, okay.
They had that before I met them. I just saw it and pulled it out, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, what's the progression from here? I know that rehearsals have been going on for a while now. From the initial rehearsals to now, where are you?
Well, I'm in a great place, but I'm not finished. And I could go with it in a very short time and put it up. But I want it to be wonderful. And for wonderful, you got to spend more time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to spend more time because they have to live the part, not just do it. They got to live it. And with that, they come up with more natural stuff as opposed to what's just written. And that's where I'm at now. I want to see the naturalness along with the story itself develop. And so I'm in a great place, but I need more time because it's a Motown signature on this play. And it's for the Les Gems word itself came from an organization called Les Gems that worked with young girls from high school and put them into colleges. And that's very important to me. So I don't want it just to be a show. I want it to be a wonderful show. So the ladies want to know, are we ready? Are we ready? I said, no, not yet. Because, and I want them to see themselves. I'm going to take it from here on in so they can actually see themselves working and making it happen. And when it clicks, we'll all know when it's really ready.
You know, they both had this expression on their face. When you said
they get a little back.
Only thing they was missing was the hands on the hips.
Get a little mad at me before.
We love you.
You're not ready yet. You know, I can put it up and it will be all right like this, but I don't want all right. I want right. Wonderful.
You know, because
be wonderful.
Because you know our country, I am, Mickey, I experience situations now that I'm an elder myself, that my uncle was prolifically prophetic about. He used to tell me, he said, if your shoes is too tight and you can't pull up on the lace, you ain't got to tell nobody. It's going to show on your face. When you said that, boy, they were like.
But I tell you something. In their hearts, right now, if you say to them, is this show as great as it should be? And I know they know it's not. They know they can be better. They know it. And I want the best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to move it until it is really better. I don't care. I'm not going to move it until it's ready. Because once it's ready, then the world will know it's ready.
Right.
This is just an opening, what we're doing now. This show will tour across the country. I'm working with Klaus Nobel of Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm-hmm.
He offered me a deal in Chicago. I'm sorry, in Atlanta, right away. And I said, no, we're not ready for right away. Let me finish this. And when I call you, we'll be ready to tour with you. You know, he speaks to thousands and thousands of people as an audience. I want them to know what love is all about with people among themselves. And that's part of the package with this show. So I'm relentless at that. And every now and then they look at me like, well, where we going? I said, come on, you're not ready.
I tell you where they're going. They're going to rehearsal. That's where they're going.
Right after the show's done.
But you know, we share a mutual friend who has been in, I think inspired by this portion of your journey, Wayne Fishback. And as I look at these ladies, because I was out at CSUN, and I'm going to ask the following question. That was about 3-4 weeks ago. How much further along are you as an artist from then to now, Claudia?
From when?
Y'all did CSUN, the little snippet of the gym that you did at
September 9th.
Is that the date it was? September 9th? Yeah. So it's been a month ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're way further.
Yes, along. Yes, ma'am.
Like, I feel a little, much better what I'm normally used to in the theater world. I feel a lot better.
Right.
I'll say a little bit more. Better. Things are coming along very well, mm-hmm. very nicely. The ladies are actually gelling now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of respect mm-hmm. that needed to be met, and I feel like we're accomplishing that. And now we're just getting every single detail just checked off.
So. Okay, let's go from the we part to the I part.
Mm-hmm.
Your personal development. What's different about you as an artist and a performing artist from September 9th till October 17th?
Patience. Yes, I gained more patience as an artist. Everybody is not at my level. Not saying that I'm at this high level. No, I'm not saying that. But
I'm an antagonist. I want you to know that if you ain't figured it out already.
There are, Mickey gave a lot of opportunities to novice actors.
Mm-hmm.
And me as an artist and as someone that is older in age, I felt a need that I needed to like show them the way, show them what I learned through the years. That's what I've learned.
Like, so you've actually had some credits, performing credits,
mm-hmm.
such as
The Color Purple national touring. It was off Broadway and it was Theater 47.
Who did you play?
I was Jareen, Church Lady Jareen.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was one of the messy church ladies, singing and talking about everybody and everybody's business.
So were you really acting or what?
Listen, that's debatable now. I was having fun.
Okay.
That's right.
But I have that and a ton of other acting credits. I worked at a theater company in Chicago called the Black Ensemble Theater. And we did play after play after play for about 2.5 years.
Mm.
Yeah,
you guys are gonna be, you know, coming back here as you move through this this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the another Chicago native who's a dear friend of mine is Hawthorne James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd like to see what his impressions are of a rehearsal at some point. You know, because he's a Shakespearean actor.
Okay.
You know, so. Y'all gonna have to deal with some old brothers along the way, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. It's a lot of ladies, so.
I get all of that. I see that. It's, you know, y'all trying to push in on me now. I just ain't having it. You know, it's my show. So, Fallon, mm-hmm. September 9th, October 17th, what's been your evolution?
I have developed within myself to be a stronger actress, because like Mickey mentioned before, I'm not an actress. I don't act. I just dance, you know?
Hold on. Time out. You're contradicting yourself and Mickey. It's got to be one or the other now.
I mean, through my works of study, it has always been either performing dance or teaching dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I told Mickey, like, yes, absolutely, I would love the opportunity to, you know, be a cast member as an ensemble dancer. And he was like, no, you're going to be playing a part. I'm like, yeah, a dancer part, right? You know, so he pushed me, and I've followed his, you know, his lead into being, you know, an actress, if you will, within the production. Not professionally, but it's coming along well.
They're not going to pay you in EBT or nothing at some point. So
nothing wrong.
I hope not.
You're going to either claim it.
I'm worth more than that, okay, you know. But right, to say that was not my expectations. It was for me to, you know, serenade the stage with my gracefulness of dance. Mm-hmm. And when he said, "No, I think you need to act and sing," I'm like, "I only sing at church on fourth Sundays next to the altos. Like, I don't sing by myself on stage." Like, so, but you know, from there on, it has been constant acting, singing, dancing. So it allowed me to develop all of those talents and mesh them into one to become better and better each rehearsal.
So are you okay with that?
And now I am. Okay. I'm, yeah. Don't give me a solo, but I got you. I got you on that vocal. I help you know, hold that tune. Claudia, no, I will. Right, soon as I'm next to Claudia, I will hold that tune next to her.
Just, you know, having seen, you know, the performance on October the 9th, I'm encouraged and inspired by the fact that this is evolving in that way where people,
yes, it is,
are going outside of their comfort level.
Yes.
And adopting, yes, this new persona, if you will.
Yes.
And let's go back to the maestro, Mickey. You know, I mean, that's what you do, Mickey. So how do you feel about this, Mickey, you know, in terms of knowing that they started off in some instances very raw and then having to merge all of these personalities together? How do you feel about their progression?
I feel great, man. I mean, it's the thing that I learned by the grace of God, working with the Motown artists, the young ones, and watching them develop and watching them, you know, go from just singing or making a couple of steps to absolutely moving well, singing well, looking good, and feeling great about themselves. With that happening, when other young ladies watch these girls on stage, they can say to themselves, "I can be like that. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I can." See, that's important, man.
That's true.
For mm-hmm. us. So to see them do it and then enjoy that, they will be inspired to do whatever they want to do. And that's the whole thing. That's the promise I made to my daughter. We got to leave an impression on the young ladies of today so that they can be independent. To be independent, you got to be able to do what you do and do it with.
Yes.
And that takes a whole nother step. And when you see someone else doing that, that gives you hope and ambition to know that you can do it yourself.
That's true.
And I thank my daughter for that. And every time I see the girls, I said, "Oh, wow, they can do just a little bit better. They can do it just a little bit better." So that those who watch them will feel and see all that. That's incredible.
You know, what's inspiring to me about having an opportunity to have seen the raw product and now having young ladies in the studio and constantly, you know, talking to Mickey about how things are moving forward. This is a healthy process and something that the viewing audience will ultimately benefit from, whether they're male or female, is the fact that this is, I think, a model of possibility. The theme of this show is model of possibilities and best practices. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those occasions where I've had an opportunity to show people that brothers and sisters from different generations, different walks of life, can find a common space that will be beneficial to humanity.
Right.
Because this is a very important project, in my opinion, mm-hmm. in this day and age.
Right.
You know, to have a man be able to have a daughter that inspired him to reach out to young ladies that needed a platform through which that they could, you know, not only grow professionally but socially, mm-hmm. and then present an example, you know, to the rest of the world that everybody ain't out here just caught up,
right?
You know,
that's right.
And have given up,
right,
you know.
Right.
So this is a very, very exciting project. We got a couple more minutes to wrap up. Any final thoughts, Mickey?
Yeah, brother, I remember you took me to see a young band, orchestra playing.
Yeah, the Fernando Pullum Performing Arts Band, yes.
And I said, "Wow, this is what it's all about." And to see those young kids at it, and then to see and then think about my ladies and the gym doing it, man, if they see enough people see these kinds of motions and that kind of direction and that kind of commitment, man, we can do anything. Mm-hmm. We can do anything.
That's a great summation, Mickey. You know, and I'm going to share the last couple of minutes with the sisters. Fallon, any final comments?
While I have Mickey on the phone, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity that God has placed in your heart that you have given to us. I really, really, really want to thank Mr. Mickey Stevenson for believing in us and especially in believing in me. I really just want to thank him. I think him and I, we talk so much about business. We never, you know, I never get the opportunity and the space just to say, you know what? Thank you. I love you.
Okay, and then you have 60 seconds, Claudia.
Ooh, piggybacking off of Fallon. Thank you, Mickey, for giving me this opportunity to come back to theater. Mm-hmm. And...
You just don't do this.
I'm thinking of 60 seconds. I thanks for not giving up on this. Mm-hmm. I know we've had ups and downs and trying to figure stuff out, but I appreciate him sticking to it. And even though, you know, people have fallen by the wayside, this is a vision that you believe in so much that I believe in it as well. And that's why I've stuck around. Period. Point blank. I want to carry out your legacy and make your vision come into fruition.
And on that note, because we're up against the close of the show, I want to say thank y'all for letting me be myself again. OG Porters, she's over there smiling like a Cheshire cat because, you know, she got some sisterhood happening up in here tonight, you know. And it's been a heartwarming experience for me to know that we're able to bring some people together around something that I'm certain is going to have a positive impact on lives around the country and parts of the world.
We'll be in Chicago, Atlanta. They're trying to get me to move now, and I'm saying, not yet. Give me a minute.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to add that. I just got back from Nashville, and I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and y'all going to see my hometown on the news October the 28th called The Klan Coming to Town. Okay,
oh,
so
Lord.
After that, we're going to need an antidote.
God,
you know.
I'm
telling you. So we're going to have to wrap the show up tonight. Thank you, Mickey, and I look forward to seeing you in the next few days, and and blessings to the sisters, and thank you for stopping by Uncle Bobby's Country.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, we out of here.
All right.